This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Okay, we'll call the House Health and Human Services Committee meeting to order. We'd like to welcome everyone on the internet. I know we're going to have a call-in caller for sure. I'd like to remind everybody to make sure that you have your cell phones turned off. I'm feeling generous today, so there'll be no fines, but please don't interrupt us with your cell phones. So, yeah.
Are you sick?
Anyway, thank you everybody for being here. I think we'll, as I mentioned earlier, without the microphone, 1211 and 1219, the sponsors have asked to have them deferred. And we'll just have to reschedule them at a later date. And so we'll be taking 1214, but before we get to that, I'll ask the secretary to call the roll.
Representative Borglum.
Present.
Deutsch, excuse, Duba.
Present.
Freimuller.
Here.
Healy.
Here.
Milstead.
Here.
Ms. Kimmons.
Here.
Perry.
Here.
Rounds.
Here.
St. John, excused. York.
Here.
Wheezy.
Here.
Jensen.
Here.
We have a quorum, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you. And I know everyone always pores over the minutes to make sure they're accurate. Could I have a motion to approve?
Second.
Moved by Representative Perry, seconded by Representative Wheezy. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like, sign. Okay, thank you very much. I'd like to remind all testifiers, again, we're only, for those that just came in, we're only taking 1214 today. 11 and 19 are being deferred. If you're going to testify, please sign in. If you are a lobbyist or working for an organization, please, when you come up, let us know, and hopefully you'll have your appropriate badges on. If you're here to testify on your own behalf, just tell us who you are and where you're from. And again, if you are planning to testify, and all are welcome to, please sign in. If anyone gets handouts, we'll ask the pages to hand those out. And are there any introductions by the committee or any personal issues? Representative Rounds.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Tomorrow's the last day of this term of pages, by the way. I thought that they should get recognized this morning.
Okay, but we have one missing, so maybe I'll... He's running an errand, yes, so I'll have them when they come. And not me. Okay, thank you. Representative Freimuller. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My husband, Mike, drove in last night so he can go have lunch with the first gentleman today, and we're actually going to go to the military dining for the first time since I've been serving. So, yes, so we're excited about that. So I'm glad I've got him here. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll take a moment for a personal privilege, too. My wife, Darcy, is here from Canton, and for the same reasons. So thank you. So just a reminder, have all questions for the testifiers and questions come through the chair. I try to be a little lenient on this so we can keep things moving. So if you have one follow-up, and I'd like to remind everybody just to make sure our questions are questions and not speeches. I appreciate that very much. So I think we will get right to business here, and we'll start with House Bill 1214. Revised provisions regarding autism spectrum disorder. Is there any proponent testimony? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Representative Tom Pischke. I represent District 25. I live in Del Rapids. The essence of where House Bill 1214 came from was when I was here last week, I believe, for the autism indicator on the driver's license or ID card, and I pitched that idea to you guys. And while researching that idea, I came across or was pointed out to by a constituent that the definition of autism spectrum disorder actually does not align in a couple places in code. So That's basically the genesis and the reason for this bill you have before you today. If you would, Mr. Chair, I actually have put an amendment out on the website because I found another place in the same section that also need to be redefined. So I would actually ask this committee to amend my bill so that we actually have that out there as well. And I put that out there for public viewing yesterday. I believe so. Let me just verify that for you. Yep. Looks like...
Is that 1214A or B? There's two.
1214A is A, the one that I requested. Okay. I did not know 1214B is out there. So,
do you wish to move that amendment at this time?
I do, sir.
Okay. Representative Rounds.
I would move 1214A, the amendment.
Okay.
So we can discuss it. Thank you.
Okay. Representative Rounds moves 1214A, seconded by Representative Perry. Is there any discussion on that? All those in favor?
I would do a hold the vote off until we hear proponent and opponent testimony on the amendment, but have it moved so we can discuss it.
Okay. There is a second amendment out there that I think it was just as a minor language change also. Are you aware of that one?
I see that out there now.
1214B, yeah, it just got out there.
Yep.
Yeah, are you okay? Is that something you'd like to move? Or do you want to wait with that one while we discuss this?
Why don't we just wait with that one?
Okay.
This whole idea is not really in my wheelhouse. The proponents that are lined up to testify via phone are the ones that are going to provide the substance proponent testimony for this bill.
Thank you. Then we'll continue with proponent testimony.
Okay. So, like I said, that's the genesis of the idea, just to make the definitions align in the two sections of code. And I'm going to stand by for questions, but most likely it's going to be handled by the proponents on the phone.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have the caller on the phone? Is the caller
on the phone here, Mr. Chairman?
Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you. Go ahead and begin.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, this is Ross Janklow calling in this morning. Sorry I couldn't be there. I have court later this morning. Otherwise, I would be. This issue was brought to my attention by my daughter over the last year, and so I suppose most of you probably know by now my grandson has been diagnosed with autism. She familiarized herself with these statutes and frankly started bringing these to my attention. I was looking through them to try to figure out why is there a different definition in the education section as there is in the insurance section. That seemed pretty confusing to me, so I started kind of looking into it, and really there is no explanation for it. So the education section that you have in front of you, which is SDCL, I believe 1337-28, you'll see that autism is defined by the DSMV, which is the Diagnostic Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, 5th edition. And that seems to be the uniform definition that's used all over the country. In the section that we have in our state, in the insurance section, it, under SDCL 5817-154, there's no mention of this DSM-5 definition, which is essentially the national standard defining autism. Instead, you have this subsection 2, which is, I think, defined as the autism spectrum disorder. They define it as a complex neurodevelopmental medical disorder characterized by social impairment, communication difficulties, and restricted, repetitive, and stereotyped patterns of behavior. Well, that definition actually has some truth to it. It really doesn't make any sense to have two definitions in our state on the books regarding autism. This is just a common sense bill, frankly. There's nothing partisan about it. Autism should be defined uniformly. It should be and should follow the education chapter. And frankly, I think if you look at all the other states, and I know there's numerous states that follow the definition that's being proposed here, I know for sure because I looked myself yesterday – Alabama, Florida, Colorado, Virginia, you know, uniformly kind of around the country, this broader education definition is used. So we're asking the committee to vote and approve the updated definition to make the definition of autism the same in the insurance chapter as the education. Now, my guess is, first of all, I don't know how this other definition ever got into the code to begin with or who proposed it. I'm sure the insurance lobby and others are going to come in and try to tell you that, well, this is going to spur lawsuits, which is a joke. It's not going to spur lawsuits. Frankly, the small market insurers are already migrating and gravitating towards expanding the ABA coverage. So that so any argument in that direction's not going anywhere. And I'm sure they're going to tell you that somehow this is going to increase the cost of insurance, which I think numerous studies have shown from the states around us that that's just not true as well. So with that, I guess I appreciate your time, and we would ask that the definition be modified to comport with the education definition as opposed to going forward with the insurance one. Thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you. And hang on for just a minute. I will ask committee members, since you're on the phone, in case we would lose the line or anything, are there any questions for this testifier from the committee? Okay. Okay, thank you. There are none that I can see. So is there any other proponent testimony? Okay, do we have? Yeah, I think he's. Are you still on the phone?
I'm sorry?
I was just wondering if you're still on the phone, if you want to.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, I am, sir.
Okay, we have. Okay, there were no questions, so we're going to move on to any other. But if, hang on the line, please. Is there any other proponent testimony? Okay. Yes, can we get her on the line? She is. Okay. Do we have Lindsay Janklow on the line?
Yeah, she's actually in my conference room as well.
Okay.
Say hi, Lindsay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, her testimony would essentially be mirroring mine. So, I mean, I guess, you know, there's no reason to waste your time. She'd be basically giving you the same information I am.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Is there any other proponent testimony? Okay, seeing none, I'll ask if there's any opponent testimony. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Jill Kruger. I'm with the Department of Labor and Regulation, Division of Insurance. I come before you today in opposition of House Bill 1214. I cannot tell you exactly why this bill was brought before you today. The proponents did not contact our agency to discuss or review. I'm not aware of them contacting those in the insurance industry either. And it appears they may not have contacted those groups that we heard from last year representing this population, those such as Autism Speaks, medical providers, the South Dakota Medical Association. Many of you were present last year for the extraordinarily emotional testimony that took place on House Bill 1236 in House State Affairs. I was there also, and I remember also. A lot of work was done in 2019 in relation to Autism Spectrum Disorder, or ASD, and Applied Behavior Analysis, or ABA therapy. In late 2018, we at the Division of Insurance had begun the process of reviewing the Affordable Care Act Essential Health Benefit Benchmark Plan for 2021. I don't expect you to all know what that is, but what the benchmark plan does is acts as a baseline for all ACA-compliant individual and small group coverage offered in our state. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid, Consumer Information and Insurance Oversight, we'll just call them CMS, had released a new process which allowed states more flexibility in selecting their benchmark plan. Our benchmark plan had been in place since 2014, and we believed it was time for a review. The result of our review actuarial analysis, and benchmark application, CMS approved a new benchmark plan for 2021, and ABA therapy was added. Those that were following ASD and the applied behavior therapy in 2019 were appreciative and recognized this positive step. However, there was still an issue, as a benchmark would not take effect until 2021. Per federal guidelines, that's as soon as that a new benchmark could go into place. It was recognized that left a gap for this year, for 2020. Our South Dakota insurance carriers stepped up and offered a solution for 2020. As the governor announced, Sanford Health Plan and Avera Health Plans offered an individual plan option that covered ABA therapy at the same level that would go into effect with a benchmark in 2021. As I said, there was much work done in 2019. As for the definition currently contained in Title 58 for insurance, previously, we had checked with CMS about the definition and have confirmed that states have the ability to have a definition of their own, which is what was done in 2015 when the legislative body at that time approved this definition. Additionally, as we worked through the new benchmark process in 2019, the new benchmark plan contains the same definition. And that, again, was approved by CMS. I cannot tell you what House Bill 1214 is trying to fix. Prior to the definition, or prior to the amendment, it was to make the definitions for autism spectrum disorder consistent. However, there was no conflict for the insurance industry. As Representative Pischke previously stated, he was aware of this definition and used the definition contained in 5817-154 that defined it as a complex neurodevelopmental medical disorder characterized by social impairment, communication difficulties, restricted, repetitive, and stereotype patterns of behavior. He used that in his testimony for support of House Bill 1076 just last week to explain what autism spectrum disorder was to this committee. The bill and amendment today are asking you to change a definition for which there is no conflict in the insurance industry. Therefore, I ask you to oppose House Bill 1214 today, and we'll stand by for questions.
Thank you. Is there any other opponent testimony? I noticed we had a few signed up, so I think there is somebody out there yet, so. Good morning. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, good morning. My name is Dylan Wheeler, and I'm here on behalf of Sanford Health Plan. First off, I'd like to thank Ms. Kruger for that great recitation of how we got here and where we are today. And just to reiterate that this past summer with the leadership of the division and with working with the governor's office, our plan with Avera Health Plan voluntarily agreed to go above and beyond and offer ABA coverage for plan year 2020. That is in effect for this year and is offered to South Dakota citizens. Ultimately, this bill would place an immense amount of uncertainty for South Dakota health insurers in regard to, one, the benefit administration, premiums, and also implementation. As Ms. Kruger stated, that definition was used and relied upon for the 2021 EHP plan design and also used in our analysis and offering for plan year 2020. If enacted, this bill has the potential to increase premiums for South Dakotans by opening up the richness of the benefit for applied behavioral analysis, which, recall again, was voluntarily agreed to be covered by Sanford Health Plan and Avera Health Plan for plan year 2020. Given that definition was relied upon, and also I'd just like to note that the definition now, as it reads, in my opinion, is a static definition. It wouldn't be subject to the change in publication of the DSM or other medical literature. So it is a concrete definition that is used in the state today. I would ask this committee to vote no on House Bill 1214. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other opponent testimony? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Randy Moses, Independent Insurance Agents of South Dakota. I've been involved in this issue in my various capacities over the years, and go all the way back to the initial formation of the law. This has been a long process, a lot of people involved, a lot of discussions, a lot of compromises, and the legislation that was put on the books was, in fact, a hard-worked compromise between all the parties involved. And the definitions were, including the one that's at issue here, carefully thought out, and they were put there for a very good reason. We should also realize that there were concerns about the coverage not being far enough, and then once again, there was a change with this change to the benchmark that was discussed previously. This now brings in other plans that weren't subject to autism coverage now. They're, as the autism folks had hoped, now coverage for pretty much across the board for all plans. So this has been a process, and one that's been worked through by the parties. We think the legislation should stay as it is. We think that the change in definition may even have the indirect impact of increasing premiums, which is something we certainly do not agree with. We don't think it's a good idea to upset the apple cart, keep the definition consistent. Benchmark plan is something that has been approved. That's something that will be appearing in plans. Let's keep it the way it is and should be and agreed to by all the parties for all these years. So thank you.
Okay, thank you. Is there any other opponent testimony? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Tim Rave, Sadaho, representing hospitals that also have health plans. I will be brief, Mr. Chairman, but just to reiterate that, as the division had stated earlier, the hospital health plans have already stepped up to meet the agreed-upon terms, and we would ask that you let that play out and keep the current definitions the way they are. I stand by for any questions and ask you to oppose the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other opponent testimony? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the House Health and Human Services Committee. My name is Justin Smith. I'm an attorney from Sioux Falls, and I'm the registered lobbyist this morning for Wellmark of South Dakota. Wellmark, as you know, is the largest market share health insurance plan in the state of South Dakota. We have some serious concerns with House Bill 1214. As the Division of Insurance so eloquently put it, why is this bill necessary? We actually have numerous instances in the code where we have seemingly inconsistent definitions dealing with different areas of policy regulation. What we have here are two very different issues, education on the one hand in Title 13 and insurance on the other in Title 58. These are two very different policy concepts that have different implications depending on who's going to be regulated, the people who are going to be impacted by the legislation, etc. There are considerations for insurance coverage that are going to be implicated here. Under the education title, there are considerations for such issues as special education, funding of different school districts, etc. There are reasons why this legislature enacts laws the way they do. They enact laws following a careful and deliberate process during which they are advised by the regulators who will enforce those laws, the industries which will be impacted by the laws, and the constituents who are driving the debates. The autism insurance laws in Title 58 were enacted after a process of study, debate, and compromise that began back in 2014. The choices made by the legislature in drafting and enacting 58-17-154 came from a fully informed and deliberate process. There were no mistakes made in this process. You can be assured that if the regulator, the constituents who drove the bill, the insurance industry that was going to be impacted, and advised the legislature to enact the law this way, it was done for a specific reason, and again, based on the distinct and important differences between education issues and insurance regulation. Now, I know that one of the proponents of the bill testified that there would not be some impact on premium costs. Frankly, with the uncertainty in the language of this bill, the complete ambiguity of the true intention behind the change, and the chief regulator on this issue, the Division of Insurance, opposing it, we would say that there is a real risk of an impact to premium costs and an increase, which will affect those who are insured by a Wellmark for group policies and others. More importantly, we would say it's going to be very, very difficult for us to figure out what that is, again, given the complete lack of knowledge of why this bill is being brought and why it's necessary. Wellmark was in support of the existing mandate. They comply with that mandate. We're fine with expanding the essential health benchmark to provide very robust coverage for ABA therapy. And there are ACA-compliant products available in the market today from both Sanford and Avera to bridge the gap before the updated benchmark takes effect in 2021. But as you heard from the other opponents, Sanford and Avera both stepped up and went above and beyond. And even though it's not going to go into effect until January of 2021 next year, they began to comply January 1 this year. So the issues that were raised last year that led to the bill have been addressed. There's no reason why this bill is necessary at this time. I would stand by for questions. We'd ask you to please oppose House Bill 1214. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Is there any other opponent testimony? Do we have any other opponent testimony? Okay, thank you. I would offer rebuttal to prime sponsor. Okay. Are you still on the line for a rebuttal on the?
I am, Mr. Chairman, and I'll be brief. This is Russ Janklow again. I mean, I'm looking at this from the perspective of hearing comments that the industry has made these changes and that there's that the Department of Insurance has looked into this issue, but I can't seem to hear from anyone that this is actually going to have any dramatic effect. All this is going to make it consistent in both sections of the code. It is true that the benchmark plan is going to go into effect, I think, in 2021, and I understand that the small market insurers, both Avera and Sanford, have kind of stepped up to the plate, and I want to say I think they've approved up to 1,300 hours of ABA. So with that already in place, why wouldn't it make sense to make these definitions consistent? It seems to me that the only state that defines autism in their insurance code the way we do is South Dakota. I can't imagine that we're smarter than everybody else. And so the insurance industry wanting it, and I'm sure they're the ones that crafted this or somehow got this into the code in 15, to me it makes no sense to have two separate definitions when everybody else is using the one that doctors use and the education section uses. So with that, and there was no testimony or any evidence today that this is actually going to increase a cost, and then believe me, the insurance industry has been smart enough to have this analyzed, and if it was going to have an increase in costs over the 1,300 hours they're already approving, you would have heard evidence about that today. So with that, we'd ask for the change, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions from the committee? Representative Borglum.
My question is for the Division of Insurance. Thank you for coming. Mr. Chair, my question is, what was the ratio of physicians who treat and diagnose autistic patients to insurance members in constructing the definition that we use in our code?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Thank you for the question. Again, Jill Kruger, Division of Insurance. I do not have numbers of who, of the specific you know, numbers involved when the definition was put into statute in 2015.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? Representative Rounds.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'll ask the question of Mr. Janklow, if I could, please. The proponent testimony was that there won't be a, there may not be a dramatic effect, or there won't be a dramatic effect if this bill passes. My question is, will there be a dramatic effect if this bill doesn't pass?
The answer to that question is no. I don't think there is going to be a dramatic effect. That's why cleaning it up, to me, is harmless, to make it consistent in both portions of the code. So that's why I'm kind of stupefied as why it's being opposed.
Representative Duba.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question is for Justin Smith. Good morning. I'm going to have you explain this to me like I'm a fifth grader. Then maybe it'll help more than just me understand. So we have a definition for education, and we have a definition for insurance. And the, from what I can understand, the reason for this bill is to make them consistent. So my question is, I heard you testify that there will be dramatic impact on the rates that could be charged because this definition is more ambiguous, and it needs to be different for education than for insurance. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Representative Duba, if I testified that there will definitively be a dramatic impact on premiums, then I apologize. I think what I had said was there we really can't estimate today what the impact will be as a result of this change, because it is so ambiguous and goes against what was enacted back in 2016, I believe it was, maybe 2015, after the 1 to 2 year study that took place that did involve stakeholders, both from the medical division of insurance, insurance, and most importantly, the constituent parents group process.
Okay, follow up.
Yes.
Did you have the opportunity last year when you were meeting on this issue after Bill 1076, did you have an opportunity to look at these definitions and leave them the way they were because they were supporting the objective of getting ABA care for the families?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Representative Duba, I don't believe there was any discussion during the process that took place in 2019 to change this definition. I can also tell you that, to my memory, the two bills that were introduced last year did not make a change to this definition.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Perry, you have a question?
Okay, yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. This will be for the sponsor of the bill. Hmm? No, I'll ask him, and then I have another one for Russ. All right, my one for Representative Pischke is, why didn't we contact the Insurance Commission with what we're trying to accomplish here? Because it sounds like they were really caught with, why are we doing this? So,
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
That's a fair question. Like I said in when I pitched the bill, this was something that just came to my attention when I was doing research for the autism indicator on the driver's license. Before that, it was not on my radar at all. So if this was something that I had thought of, you know, this previous summer, spring, fall, that would probably be a path that I would have gone down. But like I said, it's something that came to my attention just in the last week or two.
Thank you. Can I continue with another question?
Yes.
This would not be a follow-up for Tom. This will be a follow-up for Russ Janklow, please. You stated something that we're the only one that has a code like this. Did you base that on some fact? Are we, you know, we're the only ones that have this kind of a definition? And you, where did that come from? Did you just make that up, or is that a factual thing?
No, I mean, I could actually, if the committee wants me to, I could probably submit something in writing in the next 24 hours that would indicate the states that do and don't have this definition in their insurance code, and which states have what definitions. The states I was looking at, I think I gave you a list of them There's Florida, Virginia, Alabama, Colorado. I mean, there's several states that have the definition of the DSM-5. And if it would help everyone, I could probably have something sent that spells that out.
No, I just was doing a follow-up. Thank you.
I do have a question. I'm not sure who to direct it to. I believe I heard that the current definition was developed in about 2014. The DSM-5 was published in 2013. What I'm kind of curious is, you know, with the DSM-4 prior to that, was there a major change in the autism definitions from the DSM-4 to 5? And I also thought I heard testified that the APA was used. And I know there's differences between DSM-5 and APA. So can anybody answer that question? Is what basis was used when we came up with our definition?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Duba asked me to explain something to her like she was a fifth grader. I'm going to answer as a fifth grader this question. I'm not medically trained. I don't know the differences between the APA definition and the diagnostic medical definition, but I can tell you a little bit of history of how this process came to fruition. So in 2014, I believe, there was a bill introduced by a group of parents asking for a mandate for health insurance coverage for applied behavioral analysis therapy. At that time, the health insurance industry and some other industries fought the bill aggressively. The decision was made by the legislature, instead of enacting a mandate or killing the bill outright, to instead submit it to an extensive summer study process, which involved, again, doctors, pediatricians, psychiatrists. The insurance industry was involved at the table. However, the largest voice at the table, frankly, was the parents group. A bill was enacted in 2015 that did put into place a mandate for health insurance coverage under group plans for ABA therapy. At the time, because of the extensive process that had gone into drafting 58, 17, 154, and the other statutes after it, the insurance industry actually supported that bill, even though it put into place a health insurance mandate, and health insurers traditionally oppose all mandates. So at the time this definition was drafted, I am confident, and you can go back and look at the records from that summer study, there were doctors and psychiatrists involved in that process and involved in helping to form this definition.
Thank you very much. I was just kind of curious the process that happened. Are there any other questions? Seeing no other questions, I guess I'll close public testimony and open up to discussion and or action. Representative Rounds.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We still have a pending motion out there, and it would be my recommendation that we support the proponent on putting his bill together in the form he wants it, and then we debate the bill in its entirety. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I believe we had a motion and a second. Will this be roll call? So if you all remember what the does everybody remember what the amendment is? Do we need to redo that? So it's up on the screen. So all those in favor of approving the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Okay, so committee questions and or discussion and or yes, Representative Rounds.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You had commented on another amendment. Could you define that or discuss that amendment that you brought?
That amendment, let's see if I can pull it up here, is working on the computer here. I went to the wrong screen. The way it was written is I think we're going to try and bring it up here, I think. It was a simple wording. It was autism spectrum disorder, comma, means the definition contained in the, and that language would strike definition contained and say that autism spectrum disorder means the disorder as described in the DSM-5, basically. So it was just a minor wording change. And It had the sponsor of the bill had actually not seen that, but it was brought to our attention that it was just a cleanup of some words. Representative Rounds.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I don't know if the proponents on the phone have seen that or not. May I ask them if they have seen that proposed amendment?
Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Jankel, have you seen the amendment that we're discussing that's online?
I haven't seen it, but I don't think there's any opposition to it.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. So a sponsor, would you like to see that motion moved?
Mr. Chair, if it pleases the committee to have your amendment moved, I'm okay with that.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Has everyone had a chance to see it and understand it? Representative Dula.
I move that we accept the amendment.
We have a motion to accept the amendment. And that would be 1214B, I believe, and seconded by Representative Ms. Gimmons, I believe. Yes. Okay. Just to be clear that this same definition is also, or this amendment would also apply down into section 2 and 2 in the definition. So it's actually in two places. Just want to clarify, it doesn't really change anything, but it is in two places in the bill. So we have a motion by Representative Duba, seconded by Representative Ms. Gimmons to accept amendment 10 or 1214B. All those, is this roll call? No, this is voice. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Okay, the amendment is passed. So now we will speak to the bill. We have discussion and or action on 1214 as amended. Sure. Representative Rounds.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move 1214 as amended to the 41st legislative day.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Representative Rounds to 41st day, seconded by Representative Perry. Is there any discussion on that motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This has been a long process for this ABA therapy. And, I mean, there have been some very emotional years up here in the Capitol over the debates, discussions in committee. And this has been studied thoroughly since 14. You've heard the testimony on that. And when I ask the question, there's going to be a dramatic effect for the proponents if this doesn't pass. The question was, well, no. We heard testimony that there's a possibility, and maybe not, there could be dramatic changes in the policy premiums that members of the group insurance companies have to pay. This has been studied over the years. I don't think we need to rush into this 2021 when we get to the benchmark year. This has been more of a... a discussion, a compromise on a part of the industry, the insurance, the mandates that were put in, that were brought originally. I think let's slow down a year, let the industry look at this and say, hey, maybe there isn't going to be an increase. But, studies have to be done by all the parties involved to see if there's going to be an increase in premium. The definitions can be changed at a later time. I don't think we need to be in a hurry. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other discussion on the motion? Seeing none, I guess I'll ask the Secretary to call the roll on the motion to move the 41st day.
Representatives Borglum.
Nay.
Deutsch excused. Duba?
Yes.
Freimuller?
Aye.
Healy?
Aye.
Milstead?
Aye.
Ms. Kimmons?
Aye.
Perry?
Aye.
Rounds?
Aye.
St. John?
No.
York excused. Vesey?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
And there's two names.
So House Bill 1214, as amended, is recommended a 41st day. So, maybe I'll have our pages come up right now and introduce themselves kind of at the end instead of the beginning. Yes.
Hello, everyone. My name is Grace Cook, as some of you might remember, and I just wanted to say thank you, and it has been a joy listening to everyone, and a really good experience, and probably see you more, but I just want to say thank you when I had the opportunity.
Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Braden Key, and I'm a senior at Harding County High School in Buffalo, South Dakota. And this opportunity has been great, and I've learned a lot, and I appreciate everything that you guys do for our state.
And thank you, and believe me, we appreciate what the pages do. Thank you guys very much. Again, if you were not here earlier, the other two bills that we had, 1211, I believe, and 1219 have been deferred, so that's the end of what we have on schedule for today. Have a motion by Representative Perry to adjourn, Representative by Representative Healy. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. We are adjourned.